a good welcome to you again and express appreciation for your being here. Can't we say it so often? We say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. So again, there is an outline in the bulletin for you. If you'd like to follow along, please do so. Everyone recognizes this week the anticipation of a Thanksgiving Day has its history in the United States. It's a national holiday for us. It goes back to commemorating a harvest of the Pilgrim colony in the year 1621. But then after that, we experienced a great hardship in winter. After that, when it was first inaugurated, only a few eastern states participated. But however, through the effort of a lady named Sarah Hale, a great change was effected. She was kind of fired up with determination of having the whole nation joined together in setting apart a national day for thanks, and in her quote was, "Unto him from whom all blessings flow," end quote. That was her purpose. So she engaged the press with an endless flow of letters and articles to newspapers and magazines, and then she pleaded loud and long to presidents, three in particular, President Fillmore, President Pierce, and President Buchanan, through the years 1846 through 1856. Then a small measure of triumph was granted in the year 1852. Her campaign united 29 states together in marking the last Thursday of November as a Thanksgiving Day. But then came the Civil War. And then she's wondering who is going to listen to a woman with a persistent idea saying, "Can we have just one day of peace amidst the blood and strife?" But one man did listen to her, President Abraham Lincoln. And in 1863, President Lincoln officially proclaimed the last Thursday of November as a day set apart, and he specifically said, for the national giving of thanks unto Almighty God. So Thanksgiving Day, even as its start, was an offering of thanksgiving. All through the process of trying to get a national day of thanksgiving, it was all done to look up to God as a bountiful giver of good things in our life. Now, Abraham Lincoln lived only to see two occasions of that national day. Sarah Hale lived into her 90s. But Franklin D. Roosevelt, in 1939, moved Thanksgiving Day from November 30 to November 23rd. That was a month when there were, like this month, five Thursdays in the month of November. And officially, the Congress in 1941 authorized that it be held on the fourth Thursday of November. So not always necessarily the last Thursday of November, because sometimes November has five Thursdays. So it's always the fourth Thursday of November. It's interesting concerning Thanksgiving. Of course, our nation dedicates one year to supposedly gather together and look up to Almighty God. But of course, we always remind ourselves that we as Christians, we recognize and we use that phrase, every day is Thanksgiving Day. And that's right for us. We recognize daily bread being given to us from God. Thank you, God, for today, not just the fourth Thursday. The word thanks or thanksgiving or thank or thankful or thankfulness appears about 150 times in the New Testament alone. In So in the text that was read to us, these are in your notes, teaches us, and I've listed about seven things that we can note or at least highlight. Number one, the sound of thanksgiving. The sound. It says, make a joyful noise or a shout unto the Lord. We want to do that. A joyful noise comes from a joyful people. Smile. Yeah, we should be a happy people. And we need to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's a time of thanksgiving. I know some people think the people in front of me, in the pew in front of me, may not appreciate my joyful noise. I know one lady. But we think we almost want to tap the person in front of us and apologize for our joyful noise. But that's okay. That's what it said. Make a joyful noise. And no one is left out. We can all make a joyful noise. We may not have the best sound of singing, but we can make a joyful noise. And that's what the text is saying. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Yeah. And no one's left out. We can sing anywhere. Many of us do. We can certainly sing in the assembly. You probably sing in the car, perhaps. Or the shower. Maybe when you're walking alone, you'll break out in song. But Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12 says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church I will sing praise to thee. So certainly when we gather together for a time of worship, part of our thanksgiving is making a joyful noise to God. That's a sound of thanksgiving. Second, the service of thanksgiving. If you're thankful, we need to show it. It's not just saying it. But rather, the sound of thanksgiving it also involves a service of thanksgiving. It's a show and tell. It needs to be a visible thank you. When we serve, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. When we serve, it means we work, we minister. If our thanksgiving involves service, it means our duty, means we are enlisted, means active involvement. In our thanksgiving, we're asking each other, how may I help you? It's the service of thanksgiving. Serve the Lord with gladness. So we say, what can I do for you? It's the element of latitude. So let me get that. So it's with eyes open, because we're so thankful to the Almighty above, our eyes open to those around us, saying, where can I help? A service of thanksgiving. And it says it's a service with gladness. I looked up gladness in the dictionary. Probably I'll give some words you can define gladness. It means joy, a pleasure. Serve the Lord with joy, with pleasure. It means we're delighted to do it. One definition of the dictionary had tickled. I'm tickled to serve the Lord. it's the showing of a good mood or disposition. Serve the Lord with gladness. It means cheerfulness. And that needs to be done. I'm going to add here, part of our service. It can be done when we come to the assembly. We need to, with gladness, anticipate assembling. When we come together for worship service, make them to do it with gladness. I'm going to challenge you, when you wake up on Sunday morning, say, this is a great day we get. And our privilege to assemble. Yay! I wish I could instill that in all of us and not think, we've got to pretend to worship. No. With gladness. One of these days, one of my greatest joys will be to see people when they get out of their car run to the building. front of the building. I've seen people after the assembly run to their cars. I've seen the opposite. I'd like to see someone run to the building. Oh, I can't wait to get in. Get in there. Psalm 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I like to see when you got in your car, smile as you come in. You know, instead of when it's time to leave. Psalm 67 verse 3 says, let the people praise you, O God. Let the people praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Well, I want us to instill within each of us, serve the Lord with, oh, I'm so happy I get to help. Or get to, I'm so glad that we assemble. There was a time, Jeremiah and Sally's kids, you know, loved this Bible class. Either mom or dad or even Grandma Carol, they couldn't get hardly in the door, but what was Bible class hour, you see Eli and Evie run to the classroom. I've never seen an adult run to the classroom. But I've seen, you know, it's time for Bible class. You know, there's a joy in these two youngsters. My boys, my grandkids will do the same, and when they come with Christine, she doesn't have to drag them. It's Bible class time, and boy, they're happy. They don't have to be in my class in the auditorium. Oh, I want to see adults serve the Lord with gladness. Be happy. It's Thanksgiving. Number three, the singing. Verse 2, come before His presence with singing. So not just a joyful noise, but yeah, sing. Ephesians 5 verse 19 says, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So there's our singing. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks. And Dennis just led the song before the lesson. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me. It's a song we sang back when I was, I don't know how old you knew that, how old the song was, but we sang that back in youth meetings when I was in youth. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you. We want to sing thanksgiving, giving thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3, verse 13 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And then says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Ah, the thanksgiving associated with singing. It's in our text. Number four, the knowledge of thanksgiving. Two things the text mentions to know. First of all, in verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. Know that. And probably, when you know that, you're probably looking to say thank you. It's that piece of information that says thank you. It's knowing who He is, an abundant mercy, and filled with benefits, plenteous grace, and the attributes beyond number. Thank you. Just knowing who God is. And then second, in verse 3 it says, it's He who made us. Know that. Thank you. Psalmist said in Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, the psalmist continues, and that my soul knows very well. Just know that He is God, and that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. This wonderful hunk of a body came from God. Thank you. Number five is there's the people of thanksgiving. There's two more things to know. Turn the text. Verse 3, know that we are His people. Yeah, He's our God and we're wonderfully made. You made us. But now we're His people. In 1 John 3 verse 1, John says, Behold, what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us, and that we should be called the children of God. God, we want to be a people. Say thank you. And in second, verse 3, and we are the sheep of his pasture. That famous Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Yeah. We're the sheep of his pasture. He's the shepherd. He will allow him to lead us. Allow the shepherd to guide us. We follow the shepherd. The shepherd's going to take us in safe places. He's going to lead us beside quiet waters. He's the good shepherd. We're the sheep. Thank you. We're a people of thanksgiving. The number 6 is the showing of thanksgiving. The showing. Again, that show and tell. In verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Into his courts with praise. To him and bless his name. See, it's not thanks thinking. It's not thanks wishing. It's thanksgiving. Giving. Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, give thanks. So there's something about us now as we're walking through life. It's not just, okay, God, I have a thankful thought. No, give. Look up. You know, whatever you want to do, look up or look down, close eyes, open eyes, hands up, hands down, hands folded. But thank you. Thank you. Show thanksgiving. There's 3 reasons in the text. All of these are from the text. 3 reasons for thanksgiving. Number 1 is in verse 5, for the Lord is good. The Lord's good. It means he's upright, virtuous, benevolent, noble, blameless. Put all those definitions of good. He's kind. His mercy is everlasting. Say, thank you. Ephesians 2, verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, there's plenty of mercy with God. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 says, blessed be God. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. The Father of mercies. The God of all comfort. His mercy, it says, is everlasting. It's always there. Ceaseless. For all time. So reasons for thanksgiving is, number 1, know that the Lord is good. And his mercy is everlasting. And the last phrase is, his truth endures to all generations. So what God said even 2,000 years ago in the time of Jesus, it still works for us today. His truth endures to all generations. So a lady named Helen Keller, I know that name would sound familiar to you. She was born in the year 1890. She died in 1968. She's an example of triumphant living, and one of her quotes concerns thanksgiving. So Helen Keller said, for 3 things I thank God every day of my life. 3 things. Helen Keller, what are you thankful for? She said, first, thanks that God has granted me knowledge of his works. Okay. Thank you, God, for information. Second, deep thanks that God has set me in my darkness the lamp of faith. And then third says, and deepest thanks that I have another life to look forward to, a life joyous with light and flowers and heavenly song. Of course, you know that Helen Keller was deaf and blind. He says, thank you. Thank you. That you've given me knowledge. That in my darkness you give me the lamp of faith. And that I have another life to look forward to. With light and flowers. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Appropriate song, I think. I was looking at, you know, the back of our songbook, there's sections for Thanksgiving. I looked up for Thanksgiving back there in that index, and I think I only know one song. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And you led it today. I didn't even ask him ahead of time, would you sing that song? So, spend time looking up for Thanksgiving. That's an initiative today. I want to do it all the time. At the close of each lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If you're here this morning, not a member of the New Testament church, we thank God for a plan, for a way of salvation. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So that's the invitation we extend. If you want to come to the Father, you have to do it through Him. Let's stand and sing the song of invitation that is selected for. Need to respond to the plate? Let that be known while we're singing this song. You want to be baptized for remission of sins and brother for strength or encouragement? We can accomplish that. If you just want information, we can accomplish that. But let's sing this invitation song.